screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
What y'all want to do today, huh?
We talking today.
What's good?
We talking today.
What's good? We here on the first day of July.
Yeah, man.
Steelo and KC. I'm Demi Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Bone himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of
a lot of people are asking.
What are you doing with him?
Well, it's a fair question. Yeah, a lot of people asking. We're going to have some difficult conversations today. Some difficult conversations. Because I accidentally left Kenny unblocked on Twitter for like 2 weeks now.
Keep it there.
Yeah, I might do it. Especially.
It's always weird when you come back to Twitter too, by the way. It's like, oh, there's Damien.
Have to check to make sure it's not a fake account.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, he's downloaded the app today.
I'll tweet a couple of times a year, free agency, trade deadline, and maybe one other miscellaneous time. But last night, I thought let's also be clear. Jake Fisher is our man. Mm-hmm. That is our guy. He was on the show with us last week. Jake Fisher is our dude. Matt George has been all over this sign and trade. He had the Locked On Kings podcast posted before Jake Fisher posted his tweet about, you know, signing trades and so on and so forth. And Matt had been working on this, you know, all day long. So I knew when the podcast went up, I was like, I'm gonna have like Matt's back. I'm trying to help him inquire, maybe close some loopholes. Maybe if he can break this story, like, great. I have been unable to help him. We've been able to find out a variety of different things, but not what we were looking for. So I started tweeting about Malik. If you've been listening to this show for the last few weeks, you know that Kenny and I are of the belief that Malik Monk is probably gone. There's probably, I believe there are a variety of different reasons for why Malik might not be with the Sacramento Kings when this year starts. We also said that's going to upset a lot of people. We know, just as he is in this room, Malik Monk is extremely popular. Mm-hmm. He is the guy. When I tweeted my thoughts on Malik and where he might be with the organization, the amount of heart and soul comments I got, the amount of this guy cares. It's great to have a guy that cares. It's great to have a guy that has heart and soul. That led you to 40 wins last year. Now, you can bitch and complain about the construction of this roster and how that hindered Malik, and there's probably a lot of validity to what you're saying. Maybe his role changed. With DeMar DeRozan here, it changed with Zach LaVine here. It certainly changed with De'Aaron Fox not here. That's the hand he was dealt. If this organization, meaning this front office, which just went through a change, felt like he could contribute to this team, there'd be no discussion about Malik Monk potentially being on the trade market. There would be no discussion about signing trades. There would be no wondering about his future. Mm-hmm. Also, for the record, because I've been challenged on this. One team made a serious offer to Malik Monk last year. One. It was the Detroit Pistons. That does not mean it was the only team that made him an offer. But an offer that was of the caliber of what Sacramento was offering, there was one. And it was Detroit. It was not Golden State. It was not Dallas. And it sure as hell wasn't Orlando. One team. It was the Detroit Pistons. Money dried up, dog. That is a direct quote from Malik Monk. So we can do this pizza guy thing. We can do this. He took less. We could do all of that stuff. But the reality is, 1 year ago when he was a free agent, the market was not there for Malik Monk. It was here in Sacramento. It was nowhere else except for Detroit. This year, there appears to be no market for Malik Monk. And there's mounting evidence that that now includes Detroit. I don't know if there was a sign and trade in place. I don't know if the Sacramento Kings are going to work the next 5 days to get a sign and trade in place. But there is a reason Fred Katz knew that Dennis Schroeder was signing with the Sacramento Kings, and there was a reason that that news wasn't reported for an entire day later. The Sacramento Kings are still attempting to work on something. We believe it involves Detroit. Whether it happens or not, I can't help you. I do not know. If I did, I'd freaking tell you. But I do not think Malik Monk is going to be a Sacramento King next season.
Man, look, I don't know. I should take this back. There are new listeners, right?
Salute.
We don't have the same listeners that we had. We got more listeners than we had 3 years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm, so I got to re-explain myself or reintroduce myself.
Welcome to all of you. Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Casey. A lot of people that maybe saw what I was tweeting last night, and I was just having conversations with people. That's all.
That's it.
Heard some of the things I had to say or whatever. Maybe you're not familiar. Maybe you are familiar and you forgot. But who was the one 3 years ago that was saying, get Malik Monk here to Sacramento, please?
Yep.
Who was the one, and I don't get everything right, but I got this right. They signed him to the 2-year deal. I said, I'm going to lay out what's going to happen.
Yep.
After that second year, we are going to be scared to death that we're going to lose this man because he's about to come here and ball the hell out.
Yeah.
You will not find a more long time, bigger Malik Monk fan than myself. I love his game. I've loved watching him play basketball since the first time I seen him in Kentucky. I think it might have been their Midnight Madness. Big time believer in his game. We're telling you, not off of speculation, off of intel, that the market isn't what you guys think it is for him. And I said last night, I disagree with the market. I disagree with the rest of the NBA. I think Malik Monk can be this top flight guard or something like that. I think he's got all the talent in the world. But guess what? What I think doesn't matter. I think my home should be worth $4 million. Does that matter?
Why so little? We know that you, this guy. We know
will you stop it?
Worth more than that.
Does that matter if nobody's going to pay $4 million for my home? And they're like, nah, you can get this amount for your home. That's all that matters.
That's the old James Hamm analogy.
We are just telling you what we're hearing, multiple different sources, multiple levels of intel.
A matter of what we want either. It's a matter of what we're facing. And the fact that this position group, the backcourt, is just flooded with players right now. The fact that they might not be done adding players to the backcourt is like, yo, you've said it before the Kings acquired anyone, they're going to have to move someone. Mm-hmm. The number one name, look, it started to feel like a couple of weeks ago, we posed the question live on this show with, I'll speak for myself. No one called us. There was no source. There was no intel. There was no nothing. I want to be honest with you. You want to pull back the curtain? We were killing some goddamn time is what we were doing. When we asked the question, are we sure DeMar DeRozan has, like, are we sure? Like, let's walk through this a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we walked through.
We've said that a lot, to be honest with you, for a while.
Yeah, no, like, sure.
We've brought that up randomly.
But it came up, but like when we really dove into it 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. where it was like, it was almost like we were live in an impromptu conversation talking ourselves out of it. Mm-hmm. Then calls start coming. And it's like, oh, there's validity to that random thought we had. Okay. So if DeMar's not out and you're probably not moving Zach LaVine, you start doing a process of elimination as to who the Sacramento. I believe they want Keon Ellis to be a part of this team moving forward. Mm-hmm. I know everyone is on edge about the option and all that. I believe they want Keon here long term. But it's, oh, okay, well, it's Devin Carter or it's Malik Monk. And we were like, it's Devin Carter. Mm-hmm. Easy. Guess what? That was the sound of the phone ringing for Devin Carter. Did y'all hear that? Y'all heard it, right?
One more time.
Okay. This is the sound of the phone ringing for Devin Carter.
Got it.
Yeah. You can clip that. Now you have potentially two guys who you're trying to move and can't. Mm-hmm. And I have like, go ahead, Jesse.
So are you just trying to, if they have him on the market, should we just accept like you're just dumping Malik Monk at this point then?
It's a great question. Are you dumping Malik Monk or do you just go? Because mm-hmm. I'm absolutely not of the belief you have to trade Malik. I don't know how you're going to navigate this backcourt.
Yeah. I don't hate trading Malik. If that's what you have to do, fine. I hate trading him for a player that you could already have. And Dennis Schroeder. I didn't get that at all yesterday. Like, if you want to trade Malik, that's fine. Like, great. But like,
so there's a financial reason for it. There was a financial reason for the sign and trade to involve Malik Monk. It's that if you were doing the sign and trade with Malik and Dennis Schroeder was a part of that, that 3 years, 45 comes back as part of a trade, you still have the mid-level exception, mm-hmm. which means you have $15 million to go spend on someone, or as James points out all the time, some ones.
They were still able to do that to the Valanciunas trade, though, right?
One more time?
Well, they were going to do that through the Valanciunas trade, though? Like, that cleared up more money?
So that did clear up money. Like, $10 million, I think.
And it's unclear whether or not they're using the mid-levels. They have the $14 million one. They've got the Kevin Herter $16 million one.
They have the trade exception. Yeah,
the trade exception, excuse me. And it's I haven't heard any other reports about whether they're using one of those or just outright cap space.
Look, man, we're here to talk. We're here to get uncomfortable. We're not here to say the things that you want to hear. This team is in a tough spot. Any Kings fan that is pissed off or frustrated, I understand. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk through this as best we can for the next 4 hours. The phone lines are open. You could tell us both to go to hell if you want to. That's perfectly fine. We might. We got a dumb button. We might tell you worse. 916-909-1320 is D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino, where the Sacramento Kings are gambling right now on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Hell no! We've already gone to another play. No,
what is this?
Hell no! We've already gone to another play.
I was in the process of just getting us back from break. What did he say?
I got you. I'm the umpire.
No, you don't have anything.
Then repeat what you said. Repeat what you said.
No, hold on. We're freezing the show right now. The show is frozen. We're talking Kings and nothing. What did you say?
We're three plays later.
No, we're not.
It wasn't three plays.
I can say it because we're three plays later. You can't charge me on that one.
Go ahead. Come on with it.
I said it gets even crazier when you dive into that thing. No, there is no flag. Yeah,
no, there is no show, flag. Pal. We went back and reviewed it. His foot was on the line. It was a three, or it was a two, not a three. It's a flag. You can do it in the NBA. We can do that here in my league. It's a flag. It's
literally our league. We can do what we want.
That is trash, bro. Oh, this is whack, man.
All right, show's unfrozen.
All right, we're here. Let's just go to what we were talking about during the commercial break. Where is my man? Hey, I told him I wanted to show. They haven't responded yet, but there's someone called Small Ball Podcast, listening to the show. He said, why can't Perry just realize the path to building a sustainable winner in SAC is by tanking? So before, I don't want it to feel like we're picking on Small Ball Podcast, because I'll tell you this straight up. This question came to a group text message, like a friend group text message that Kenny and I are on. And I'll tell you the same thing I told, y'all know it was Kamara. I'll tell you the same thing we told Kamara. Tanking does not work. You cannot name a single team that has tanked and has been successful. Not one. If your mission is to get back to exactly where you were before you started tanking, salute to the Philadelphia 76ers. You did it. Mm-hmm. Do not try to convince yourself that the Oklahoma City Thunder tanked. That is not what they did. They managed their assets in the most beautiful way when they had Paul George held like the like it was a Money in the Bank ladder match over the Los Angeles Clippers. And they were desperate to land Kawhi Leonard. I think there is zero chance Kawhi Leonard was ever signing with the Los Angeles Lakers, but the Clippers didn't know that. They gave up everything to pair Paul George with Kawhi Leonard, and that includes Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. At no point did they tank. At no point did they not attempt to win games. Did they have a great basketball team in totality? No, they didn't. But what did they go on to do? They got Chris Paul. They went on to do a variety of different things to help get to the moment that was last year, which, of course, led to the moment that they're at right now. That is not tanking. That is managing your roster in the most effective way possible. You want to talk about tanking? Is Utah tanking? Because they suck. They suck. They're directionless. And they tanked on a hope and a prayer for Cooper effing Flagg, and it failed. Dallas made the goddamn play-in when we thought they were done. Did they tank? No. What did they get out of the deal?
Number one pick.
They got Cooper Flagg. Tell me more how tanking builds a sustainable winner. Managing your assets builds a sustainable winner. Let's start there. I'm sorry. No, go ahead, because I feel like you might just pick up where I'm leaving off. Go ahead.
You got secure in the bag. This is they sat SGA for 2 or 3 years. That's because they had SGA, right? So they had a guy that, oh, this is a foundational piece. They already had that. Number two, the other thing about that is they were able to get a guy that they targeted as a guy that, you know, we want this guy. They probably didn't know he was going to be an MVP. I'm not going to say that. But they were able to target a guy like that because you can make whatever jokes you want about Paul George today and, you know, all this other stuff and playoff P and all this other. That's fine. He was a top five MVP candidate in the league when he was traded from OKC. In the league. That's how they were able to get all those picks and SGA because he was a top five MVP candidate at that time. Domantas Sabonis isn't that. Zach LaVine is not that. DeMar DeRozan is not that. So thinking that you can do what OKC did and everything be fine, that's a whole nother thing. And here's the other thing. Are you going to stay on OKC? Because I got one more thing to say about OKC.
I am. Yeah, go ahead.
You got SGA, who was the 11th pick and got from in a trade.
Mm-hmm.
The 11th pick got in a trade for a Paul George. What draft pick was Jalen Williams?
Was it 16?
I think it was 16.
16, 17.
What draft pick was Lou Dort?
Out of the lottery.
Undrafted.
Undrafted.
What about Caruso? Did you draft him? Did you tank for Caruso?
No. Okay. I don't think so. That'd be
you got Chet at two.
Interesting strategy. Yeah.
You got Chet at two. So that was tank, I guess, or whatever the case may be.
Or not being good.
That too. That too. And I'll even give you this. You got Giddy, and that allowed you to get Caruso.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a tank situation as well, or was it just not being good?
You know, it's almost as if maybe drafting properly leads to your team functioning well.
Mm-hmm.
I just pointed, like, this is what Securing the Bagley does, and we love our brother. He says Utah is going to be better than the Kings. Salute. You can have that one. That. Mm-hmm. That is your death take right there. Next to your screen name, that's your death take. But you can keep that one. Let's go to David Lopez. This is our brother right here, the other D-Lo on the show. So why not follow the OKC model and trade your core players for picks and just run a trash lineup? LaVine and DeMar and Sabonis won't win games. So let's dissect what David Lopez is talking about right here. LaVine, DeMar, and Sabonis versus OKC Russell Westbrook and Paul George. Let me try that again. Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and Domantas Sabonis versus OKC Russell Westbrook and Paul George. Between LaVine, DeMar, and Domas, all three of them together, you can probably land one first round pick. And it would be for Domas. You're not getting one from DeMar. You sure as hell are not getting one for Zach LaVine. And I'm sorry to tell you this uncomfortable reality. As frustrating as it might be with the way that the Sacramento Kings handled the De'Aaron Fox situation, and it is perfectly fine if you're upset with the way that they handled it and they settled on Zach LaVine. If you think the idea should have been wait for the offseason, you're probably right. If the idea should have been you only work with San Antonio and you make them trade for it, great. If you think you were netting a multiple first-round pick trade for De'Aaron Fox, you're sorely, sorely mistaken. This isn't hate. I have no venom to that brother whatsoever. The league watches the league. They see everything you have ever been frustrated about with De'Aaron Fox. They all see it. If you think there would have been this massive, robust market for De'Aaron Fox where there would have been a bidding war, unlike the thing anything we've ever seen in Sacramento, you're dead wrong. Hmm. Could you have netted a first-round pick? Absolutely. I think they did net a first-round pick. Could you have netted two? Maybe if there were really two teams interested. Between Russell Westbrook and Paul George, you got like eight. And you got Shea. That OKC model isn't realistic unless Victor Wembanyama gets drafted by San Antonio and says, I'm just staying in France unless you go trade for De'Aaron Fox. That's what happened. That's what happened in Oklahoma City. That's the only way De'Aaron Fox would have netted you anything near what Shea Gilgeous-Alexander with that trade, with the Paul George trade netted for Oklahoma City. Wemby says, I'm staying in France unless you go get De'Aaron Fox. Then you make off like a bandit. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, you were just going to kind of get what you got.
The year before OKC traded Paul George, this was him on Oklahoma City. So this year, and then they traded him that offseason. Paul George averaged 28 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. He was third in MVP voting. He was third in Defensive Player of the Year. He was an all-star. He was all-NBA first team. He was all-NBA defense first team. That's why you could ask for what OKC asked for. Mm-hmm. We'll even go a step further. You talk about Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, the years, I could go more, but let's go 4 years. The 4 years before the Oklahoma City Thunder traded Russell Westbrook, he was fourth in MVP voting, an all-star, all-NBA second team, fourth in MVP voting, an all-star, all-NBA first team, the MVP, an all-star, all-NBA first team, fifth in MVP, an all-star, all-NBA second team, 10th in MVP voting, an all-star, all-NBA third team. That's why you could ask for what you asked for Russell Westbrook. Those are the resumes we're talking about. I got no disrespect for these guys, and obviously I like them a lot more than other people, but we're not talking about Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. We're not even talking about Domantas Sabonis, who was able to muster up in the last 2 years eighth place finish in MVP voting and a seventh place finish. We are talking about when they were traded, two of the top 10 players in the game. That's why you can't do the OKC model. You don't have those players to get that type of return. Period.
Let's look at a couple of things here because this Big John Poles asked, so Desmond Bain had a bigger market than Fox. I don't know that he had a bigger market. I want to go to Cam, too. Cam says that Bain haul trips me out. I don't know that Desmond Bain had a bigger market. Desmond Bain had a team that was desperate to land a player with his skill set, so they gave up the assets that they believed they needed to acquire him. Orlando thinks this is the guy that puts us on a different level. We outlined this with Indiana and Pascal Siakam. They spent that 200 some odd million dollars on Pascal Siakam because this is the guy to pair with Tyrese Halliburton who's going to take us to a different level. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. This is our duo. This is who we're riding with. Orlando made the decision. This is our guy. This is who we're going with. No team felt that way about De'Aaron. Because if they did, no matter how badly Vivek, Monty, anyone in that circle wanted Zach LaVine, and I do believe it was Vivek, they would have stopped and said, wait a minute. This team is offering what we'll just call now, even though it didn't happen, the Desmond Bane return. No one is saying no to that. No one felt that way. Absolutely no one. Now, there's multiple reasons for it. One, no one will call a player's punk card, or not a player, not on De'Aaron. No one will call an agent's punk card. They won't. Oh, we're not going to re-sign there to old Rich Paul line. No, man, he's going to come in. He's going to work his ass off. He's just not going to re-sign with you. Now, people take that as he's not going to re-sign with you ever. Like, that's what Rich Paul was saying about Anthony Davis. That's not what he was saying. He's saying he's not going to sign with you before he hits free agency. Look at the Lakers. He didn't re-sign with the Lakers until he hit free agency. That is a financial move. But the financial move changes if you sign with the team that you're on versus moving to a new team. Maybe this is why I can't have a basketball team. Because I'd be like, yeah, go ahead. Walk away from the $50 million or $40 million or whatever it is. Go ahead. Walk away. I'm going to use your talents to help my team try to win a championship this year. Mm-hmm. If you decide after whatever we do, you want to leave, hey, salute. Good riddance. This isn't going to be a sign and trade. I'm not going to help you net what you want. If you don't want to play here, you can leave. But we're doing what OKC did. And we're going to take this risk and we're going to go sign Paul George. And it worked out for them. He re-signed, partied with Russell Westbrook, and then dipped. Out of here. And if he hadn't dipped, the Oklahoma City Thunder would not be the champions. Masai Ujiri, God rest his soul, not dead, just unemployed. He said, no, we've kind of hit our ceiling with DeMar and Kyle Lowry. We're going to make this move for Kawhi Leonard. We're going to do everything we can to re-sign him, but we think we can win a championship with him. We were a 60-win basketball team. We believe Kawhi is better than DeMar. We believe he can put us over the top. I don't care what happened. I don't care if you fire Masai Ujiri 10 years later. That man took that risk and won a title.
Mm. Okay. That's a great point because that was something else I was going to get to, right? Because they always talk about how tanking is the only way to a sustainable winner, right? Well, let's look at the winners last 10 years. And let's find out how many of them tanked to get to that point. 2015, the Warriors, did they tank?
2015, they did not.
2016, Cleveland Cavaliers, did they tank?
No, they were just bad prior to LeBron's arrival.
2017, Warriors, did they tank?
Yes, they tanked to get Kevin Durant.
2018, Warriors, did they tank?
They did not.
Okay. 2019, Raptors, did they tank?
They were a 60-win team the year prior.
2020, Lakers, did they tank?
No, but that one doesn't count.
2021
Alex
Bucks.
Caruso even said so. No.
2021 Bucks.
2021 Bucks went through it. No.
2022 Warriors, did they tank?
Well, no, but
they didn't use those players.
They didn't. They just fell face first into the Larry O'Brien.
Yeah,
salute.
You can skip that one.
Yeah, congratulations.
2023 Nuggets, did they tank?
Oh, they did not. They stuck with it and won a title.
2024 Celtics, did they tank?
I got this one. No.
2025 Thunder. I'll even be nice because we dispelled that, but I'll be nice and said they tanked.
Mm.
One of the last 10 champions tanked.
Mm.
One. So here's the thing that I always have an issue with small ball podcasts and David Lopez and all this other stuff. If you believe...
You say their names in a way that makes it sound like you want to fight them. I try to say their names in a loving way. My man, David Lopez. Small ball podcast. But you sound like Ving Rhames and Baby Boy when you're talking.
Guns and butter.
Mm-hmm.
Guns and butter. Securing the Bagley, I'll talk to you too.
If you believe tanking is the way to go, I'm not here to tell you that you're wrong for that thinking. I'm really not. We outlined some stuff and we had a debate class and but if that's what you feel, fine.
Mm-hmm.
What you can't tell me, and this is where we go back and forth and we talk about it. What you can't tell me is that is the way to win. Because that's not true. That's false.
I saw someone bring up, I don't think I started, so I didn't. So apologies for not giving the recognition to someone. Someone asked, the Pistons tanked, right? And they're in a good spot. I don't think the Pistons tanked. I think they were bad. They landed Cade. He developed. Now, let's go back to the beginning of last year. Nobody, they were the surprise of the league. Mm-hmm. Nobody expected them to do that. People this time last year laughed at them because they had available cap space that they couldn't use on Malik Monk, the lone team that went after Malik Monk, and used it on Tobias Harris. People laughed at that. They weren't laughing at the end of the year when that team was playing the way that they were. J.B. Bickerstaff, the perpetual interim coach, took that team. A job nobody wanted. Don't act like this was a plan. Nobody saw this happening with Detroit. Detroit, the question is, and this is where I'm on a wait and see approach. I love what Detroit did last year. I'm also completely unsure how they did it. No shade whatsoever at J.B. Bickerstaff. He just always, that wasn't a coveted job. It doesn't appear to be a job anyone wanted. And he took it coming off of the run in Cleveland. And he killed it. How are you going to follow that up? Because everyone's talking about Detroit. Oh, the Pistons are going to be this. The Pistons are going to be that. Man, I remember 2 years ago when the Kings lost that 7-game series, what they were saying about the Kings after that. And how did it go? What's Detroit doing right now? What did they do last week? What are they doing right now? And how is that going to sustain them to win Eastern Conference? Hey, Atlanta's working. Mm-hmm. Whether it works or not remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. But they're trying. Like, they're trying to put Trey ain't going nowhere. They're trying to put players around Trey. We ain't even got to what is going on in Milwaukee yet. Celtics, with or without Jason Tatum, is a good basketball team. The Knicks, once they hire Mike Brown or whatever they're going to do, they're going to be a good basketball team. Okay. I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach with Detroit before you tell me that they had this big turnaround that worked crazy.
That's fair.
And Paul makes Paul, my man. My man, Paul.
I got him because this is the other problem that I have when I talk.
Yep.
You can't tell me both things.
Yep.
You can't tell me two things. So we have all agreed, Jesse, Kyle, everybody's, that the Kings were on to something with Beam Team 1. They loved Beam Team 1. This was it. We found it. 17 years. We finally got it right. We got the right coach. Everything is good. We have Fox. We have Domas. We have Keegan. We have Herter. We have Monk. We have all these guys, right? Did they tank to get that? Did the Kings tank to get that team?
Oh, no, they were just bad for a decade.
Even the players that they acquired, did they tank to get those players?
No.
So when you can't look at that team and be like, we missed out on something, we had something cooking and everything, all this other stuff, and then tell me tanking is the only way to get better.
That's not what I thought you were going to say at all.
I could tell because you didn't put it up there.
It's not even close.
What do you think he's going to say?
Detroit has a guy.
Well, that's a whole nother thing.
Detroit has a guy. That is a massive difference between Detroit, Sacramento. Mm-hmm. We're talking Utah. Mm-hmm. Who's that? Maybe it's Ace.
Maybe.
Detroit has a guy. in Cade Cunningham. Sacramento Kings do not. No. They do not have a guy. They got guys. They got bros.
Buddies.
Brodies.
Fellas.
They don't have a guy. A dude. The one. They do not
they
have,
don't
that.
Have that.
And they never did.
No. Now, and then here we go, the revisionist history. Now all of a sudden we did tank for De'Aaron Fox. I thought we never tanked. I thought the Kings have never tanked. I thought if Vivek would just get out the way and let this team tank, then everything will be all right. But now, when I got you, when I got your argument on life support, oh, now they tank for Fox, who was the top five pick. Once again, you said it. You said it a number of different times. You guys don't know the difference between tanking and just being naturally bad, just not being good. Did they tank the next year when they got Bagley and had the opportunity to draft Luka and they didn't?
Well,
matter of fact,
you could make the argument they didn't put forth the best effort that year.
Oh, that's dead wrong. Do we remember what that summer was?
That was the George Hill Vince Carter summer. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then what? But then what happened?
Well, no, I'm talking about that summer.
Yeah,
they were trying to. They weren't to tank. You draft Fox. You sign those guys. If you were tanking, you would draft Fox and not sign anybody and try to be bad the next day. They lucked into the number two pick.
They did, but they also pulled the plug on those guys halfway through the season.
They did. But I'm just talking about going.
No, I got you.
Season.
Yeah. That's no, what I'm talking yeah. About. They didn't think they were going to be that bad.
That's my point.
They didn't think they were going to be bad.
That's my point.
And when they realized they were, that's why I never understand why Kings fans are upset with George Hill. George Hill was
he was a bit of a jerk about it.
He might have been, but hey man, no, we're not you're going to come here and compete. We're trying to win games. Mm-hmm. Look, we got Vince, we got Z-Bo coming in. You get it wasn't even 41 games into the season where they pulled those guys Garrett Temple aside, like, hey man, we're gonna change our approach here. And I remember Garrett Temple was not quiet about this. He said this on the radio show I was on at the time. I didn't expect this. None of us did. Then they had a series of injuries take place where guys like George Hill, I think they wound up trading George Hill, but Garrett Temple, some of these guys had to play, I think, a little bit more than they anticipated. But it was dead at that time.
And forgive me if I'm getting my years incorrect, but even with when they decided to ship those guys off, weren't they still slated to draft 9 or 10? Or was it even they jumped?
Oh, they jumped. Yeah, they jumped.
By the luck of the ping pong balls.
I can't remember if it was 8 or 10, but they jumped from one of those numbers to get to 2, yeah. I think it was Chicago they jumped.
Yeah, you guys are making it like they just – let's just be bad and have 25 wins.
Nah.
That's not how they got to 2.
Yeah.
Not how they got to 2.
And they got it wrong. That's the other part of all of this. We'll dive into it. We're family. We're going to get through this. Nothing of note is happening. If it does,
we'll let you know.
We'll pass it along to you. But we've got a lot to talk about as it relates to the Kings and a lot to talk about as it pertains to the rest of the league as well. It's D'Lo and KC. We're brought to you by Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play with 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games. Sky is the limit at Sky River Casino. Let's open the phone lines. 916-909-1320 is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. I know people got some feelings. If anything happens, it is quiet.
No,
period.
Once again, I want to reiterate how I'll speak for myself here. Tanking is fine. If that's what you want to do, fine. But don't tell me that that's the only way to win. Because now you're just being lazy. You're just being lazy. If anything, Damien, you've talked about it before. We've broken it. That might be the least effective way. What the hell? We just named out all the NBA champions over the last 10 years. One of them you would consider a team that tanked. 1 out of 10. That's probably the least effective way to get it done. We talked about the final four of this year's NBA playoffs. I gave you OKC. The other three teams tank. I can't say Minnesota tanked to get Anthony Edwards because they already had Cat on the team and Andrew Wiggins and all those other guys. They just weren't good. The Knicks didn't tank. The Pacers didn't tank. And that's all I say is don't tell me. This is the only time you'll get pushback from me. Don't tell me that's the only way to get better. That's lazy.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely lazy. Because there are different ways to get better as an organization and different examples of that all around the NBA. You can't even tell me it's the highest percentage way. Because like I said, we just went through the NBA championships. You got a 10% chance at best of tanking and winning an NBA championship. So that's my whole thing. If that's your philosophy and you want to make a move that way, cool. That's fine. Just don't tell me that's the only way to get it done. Because I disagree.
Yeah. It's not the only way to get it done. In fact, it's not even a proven way to get it done. I see because of the, I mean, not that fans don't know this term. They certainly do. It's been around. It's been a thing. But the Dame Lillard news today has everyone talking about just wave and stretch.
That is... That's crazy.
I don't think you want to do that. I get it. I understand. It's in the news. It is not worth doing that at all. Dame Lillard is not playing all of next season. Zach LaVine's money is gone at the end of next season, and you can all rest peacefully. DeMar DeRozan's contract after this year is that partial guarantee, and it means absolutely nothing. You can all rest easily. The fact is, this team is stuck in this kind of bizarre state of it's like, what was Monty's line? It was like, maintain and improve. Scott Perry for the next couple of years might have to live by survive and figure it out.
Put it on a shirt.
Because, like, you have, we've said this repeatedly, this team isn't awful. They're not a championship contender, but they're not awful. They are kind of stuck in the middle. You don't lose by 30 at home to Dallas. Maybe this conversation is different, but they did. You finish top six, it's certainly not a conversation. But it's just they're just stuck in this bizarre state of tank. They're too good to tank as a unit. They don't have good enough parts to break apart and get the assets you need to tank effectively. Which leads us to the next thing. We'll get to the phone lines in 2 seconds. There is no point in tanking if you're going to draft the wrong players. None. Davion was a draft pick. He ain't here no more. You can go all the way back to Luka Doncic if you want to. You can run through the variety of times that the Sacramento Kings have missed on a draft pick. That ain't got nothing to do with Scott Perry. Absolutely nothing. Scott Perry landed Emmanuel quick. Scott Perry, his history shows us he sees talent. I've got questions. If Trae Young was truly on the market and he didn't see it, I got questions. I've heard about what his feelings were for Jalen Brunson in Dallas. I've got questions. Scott Perry seems to like a specific type of player, and it's not a high usage offensive first guy, which both of those individuals that I just referenced are. Let's get to the Elk Grove Kia Talk line here, 916-909-1320. Start with our man AJ. AJ, what's going on, brother?
Hey guys, big fan, first time calling, so shout out to you guys. Casey, I wanted to push back a little bit on the last listing out the 10 champions. Like, I don't know, 2020, the Lakers tanked for so many years to have the assets to acquire an AD. Obviously, it takes a player like LeBron to win the championship, right? Or like the Celtics controlling the entire Nets future through like a boneheaded trade. Like, I don't feel like the tanking is not, like, your point against tanking, it doesn't seem like a genuine point when you factor in some of those championship teams also had tanked to have the assets to get another star player to become contenders. So it doesn't, it feels like we can at least tread in that direction, have some flexibility, acquire a star, but it seems like we're going the opposite route, it seems like.
So AJ,
yeah, big fan of the show, guys.
AJ, appreciate it. AJ, if he's still there, is he going?
No, he's here.
AJ, you still there, man?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I just want to ask you a question. Do you think the Lakers, when they had Ingram, Randall, Lonzo, all those guys, do you think they were tanking or they were just bad at what they were doing?
Yeah, I mean, they were getting number two picks like three straight years, right? Like, I don't remember what the lottery odds were for them, but I think they were tanking, right?
I gotta look back at the roster, though.
I could be wrong, but
I'm not gonna.
I just think they were bad. I think they were bad post Kobe retirement.
I didn't think they were very good at team building. I didn't think the players around those guys were better, and I don't think who was it Magic at the time. I don't think Magic was saying, "Hey, we're just gonna be bad."
Magic oversaw the LeBron signing, so maybe.
I don't think they were actively tanking. Like, I agree with you and with Co when you say OKC wasn't tanking.
Mm-hmm.
But I will concede that argument to anybody that wants to think OKC was tanking. Because there was a moment in time when they would just shut SGA down in, like, February for, like, two straight years. That still doesn't explain being able to find a Lu Dort, find a Jalen Williams, being able to go get Hartenstein, Caruso, all those other guys outside of the draft. They made good moves. But if you wanna say OKC was a tanking team, I'll concede that. That is different than what the Lakers were doing, in my opinion. The Lakers were just going out there. We're bringing Nick Young back. You know what I mean? Like, he's bringing him home. Swaggy P, he's coming home. Like, that's what they were doing. Oh, we got Lonzo now. Everything's good. We're, you know, first game on TNT. Brandon Ingram, he's next. Like, they weren't managing things well.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave them an opportunity to go get Anthony Davis. True, for sure. But they did that because they were bad, in my opinion. I don't think they were actively trying to be as bad as they could be to get those picks.
Let's stay on the phone lines, man. Let's go to Tanner. Tanner, what's going on, brother? Appreciate the call.
What's up, D-Lo? What's up, KC? How y'all doing?
We good, Tanner. How you doing, man?
Hey, doing good, man. I just wanted to ask y'all just about, like, potential moves. Specifically, I personally think that the best move that would set us up, not just for this timeline, but for future timelines, would be a move for Kuminga. One question is, what would a trade in your mind look like for that? And two, do y'all think that would be a smart move, just seeing the Scott Perry era, how that would all work under Doug Christie in this era?
I appreciate you, but who was the player he said?
Kuminga.
Oh, go trade for Kuminga.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So is this such a talking point because of Sam's article? Because I feel so. Like Sam wrote, yeah, that's it. Look, yeah, you they've know, expressed interest, but I don't think it's a
there
thing.
There was more talk over the weekend of, I forgot who it was. Maybe Jesse can find it. But somebody did come out and say, while it looked like they were just in the background before, they've leapfrogged the Heat and some other teams as being, like, real contenders.
Suitors.
For Kuminga. Yeah.
I remember who tweeted that too, but I saw that one as well.
Yeah, that's why I kind of start bubbling up again.
That's fascinating to me because I feel like, I mean, we could try to answer the question. I feel like if you were going to, it would be centered around one of two players, Domantas Sabonis, which signals something different, or Jonas Valanciunas, which isn't possible.
Right.
So, because they need a center, right? And I feel like Domas fits what they're doing. I just don't. I don't picture that happening.
Yeah.
How you acquire Kuminga, man? I don't know.
I'm not exactly sure. I've said a number of different times, like, Kuminga. Yeah, I gotta see more from him as far as his true impact on the game. I think he's super talented. I also leave room for him to grow a little bit. I don't even know if he's 22 yet. You know, he might be 22, 23, something like that. So, you know, maybe it's something that, you know, right now he's just focused on getting buckets. And as he understands the game a little bit more, he understands how to pick and choose his spots and still get 25 a night or be impactful elsewhere. And for somebody that's that young, I still kind of give grace for that, man. Like, he's still learning the game and trying to figure some things out. So if the Kings were able to get him, you know, I'd be open-minded and excited about a player that young and that talented being here in Sacramento. I look forward to it, but I don't know how that gets done.
It's a sign-and-trade situation?
Mm-hmm.
It'd have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah, I don't. If the Valanciunas deal hadn't happened earlier, like, okay, I could see it, unless you throw Dario in that. I don't know.
Yeah.
That quote you were talking about too, Casey, was Brett Siegel.
Brett Siegel.
Yeah. Said, the Kings have substituted themselves in place of the Nets as a prime commingling destination. That was this weekend.
Hmm.
And then really nothing else on that. Like, that's all we kind of heard from that.
Yeah, the only, because so I didn't even see Siegel's thing. I saw Sam's, which was like, you know, the Kings are interested. It's probably not a thing. Like, Kuminga and the Kings probably, I'm paraphrasing, it's not exactly what he said, but he was very dismissive of the idea of Golden State and Sacramento talking about Jonathan Kuminga. So, you know, maybe things have changed since then. But Kuminga's a guy that that'd be interesting. That'd be interesting. I'd expect everybody's energy to be real strong if they make that deal. Because a lot of people have been talking about it. Like, it was all over my mentions last night. I just burned my whole goddamn Twitter account. That's why I only go on Twitter two or three times a year. just burn the whole thing down in one night. Brother tweets one GIF and everyone loses their mind. Everybody's allowed to have fun on free agency, except old D-Lo.
I don't think it happens, but if they were able to find a way to land Kuminga, it'd be exciting. Young, like I said, a young guy who's got a lot of talent. We still got to figure out if he can, you know, figure it all out as a top level basketball player. But I'd be excited for Kuminga. But I just don't really see the pathway to that happening. At least I haven't seen it. I haven't heard of how that gets done.